It's a Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The fifth annual Moth Main Stage takes place this week at its biggest venue yet, the Byam Theater in the Cultural District. The theme this year is balancing acts. With the growing popularity of the local Moth Story Slams and the Moth Radio Hour, how do you balance the traditional intimacy of Moth events with its growing fan base? Justin Strong, owner of the Shadow Lounge and Ava Nightclubs, is one of this year's storytellers. He has plenty of experience balancing diverse groups of people in intimate settings, and he joins us in Studio A. Welcome to Central Pittsburgh.
How you doing?
Also with us is Moth Main Stage producer Kate Tellers. Good to have you on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, hello.
And by the way, the Moth Radio Hour airs Sundays at 6 p.m. on 90.5 WESA. And the Moth Story Slams, where you can get up and tell a story, are the first Tuesday of every month at the Rex on the South Side. Kate, how would you describe the Moth and the Moth Main Stage?
Well, the Moth is a not-for-profit organization dedicated to the craft of first-person storytelling. So what that means for our Main Stage series is we find storytellers, we find stories that we think would be interesting for people to hear, and we work with storytellers to help them craft a 10-minute story that then they share on the Moth Main Stage with no notes.
No notes?
Nope.
Nothing at all, just right from the head to the mouth.
Right from the head.
That can be dangerous or scary.
Yeah.
What can you say about the success of the Moth here in Pittsburgh, especially between last year and this year? Last year you were at the New Hazlet, now the Byam, almost three times the size. Is it growing that quickly in other cities?
Yeah, we find that the Moth is growing very quickly, and I think in particular to Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburghers are a very open-hearted community, I've found, and the stories, they're listening to each other. And now with the open mic series, where you have the opportunity every month to get up on stage, we've built, you know, the slam community that's really melding into the Main Stage community, and we're growing.
And many people have heard the podcast from the original Moth in New York City. What kinds of stories have you heard and coached people on throughout the country?
Well, what's great about when we get to take the Main Stage on the road is that we have these really intimate and very regionally specific experiences. One that I can recall, we were doing a show in Seattle, and we had a storyteller who had a completely heartbreaking story about the flood in Seattle. The storyteller's name was Charlene Strong, and her wife ultimately drowned in the flood. But on the way, before she passed away, she was in the hospital, and Charlene was unable to see her because she wasn't recognized as her partner. And it's a heartbreaking story all around. And when Charlene told it, we always have a rehearsal before we take the Main Stage. And she told it in this small room for the other storytellers and those of us from the Moth and our partner. And we all just sort of fell apart together. And it was a really tender, really intimate, sad, but beautiful moment. But because we were in another city, we weren't on our home turf, we were able to spend more time together. And a few nights later, Charlene and her new wife took all of us from the Moth to dinner, and we all sat around a table, like a family table, you know, and with a little more time and being away from our home turf, we get to have those really special experiences.
It's amazing how many different stories that you come across from the famous and the not so famous. And there was an interesting, very Pittsburgh-centric story that came your way that you're going to be able to share a clip of for us.
Yeah. Last year I worked with a man named Josh Broder. And Josh is an actor, and he had a funny story about when he was in Silence of the Lambs. And he has a very intense scene with Anthony Hopkins. And I think you have a piece of it here today.
Yeah, let's listen to this.
Take one. It's a disaster. I mean, I get the words out barely. But not only that, I mean, you can see me, my eyes scanning the scribbled pages that I'm visualizing in front of me. Cut, retake. It takes 20 of the night's precious minutes to redo Hopkins' makeup. I'm starting to panic. I want to get out of the ambulance, breathe, calm down, crawl back to Manhattan where I belong. But every escape route is blocked. Hopkins and the makeup guy at the back of the ambulance, camera to the left of me, lights in front of me. I'm trapped. I cower in there like a cornered animal.
Now, this is a professional. He's obviously relating this story very well, you know, in terms of the kinds of anxiety that he felt, you know, being certainly not as famous an actor as Anthony Hopkins. And he's in maybe the biggest movie Anthony Hopkins has ever made, in the ambulance, and trying to get his lines right. And that can be intimidating. I mean, this is an Academy Award-winning actor in that ambulance with you. And so how did you coach him on his story? How much coaching did you need to do with him, Kate?
Well, Josh's story, we originally found it. It was an essay. He'd published an essay of this. And the big difference and the big challenge that we have is that we want the story to be more than just a romp. You know, it could be a hilarious thing or a funny story that you might share at a dinner party, but there has to be sort of a change, and there has to be personal stakes in that for the storyteller. A change. Who you were in the beginning of the story should be different than who you are at the end. And so for Josh, for example, this story could be told as just a funny romp through a day on the life mm-hmm. of the set, but we really started to talk about what this film meant to him. And he has this brilliant line in the beginning of the story. He was just killing it in downtown theater in New York. And he says, downtown theater exists outside the law of supply and demand. There's only supply. There is no demand. And so when he gets offered a movie part and he gets a chance to really prove himself in the big game, he gets to be paid and have craft services and really do be valued for all of this hard work that he does. You know, that's what we sort of set to uncover and set up at the top of the story. So then when he's in the van and everything's falling apart, it's not just, oh no, this is a bad day. It means something bigger. It's the sort of him questioning who he is as an actor and if he really can do what he's always been so certain that he can do.
Can I take that next step?
Yeah. Can I make it in the big league?
And so, and here's a guy who is involved in storytelling professionally, but this is a different kind of storytelling. So, you know, in order to draw that out, in order to get the storyteller to understand that, you know, this has to be more, as you say, than just a romp. What do you have to do to get that across? You know what you're looking for, but the person, even if they're a professional, may not understand what you're trying to get to.
Well, it's an interesting thing. I think people assume that actors are the best storytellers, and sometimes that's absolutely the opposite of the case because actors are used to projecting something on stage that is not themselves. And with Josh, this wasn't particularly a challenge. Josh understands the differences, but just because someone is comfortable on stage doesn't mean that that will translate as something authentic. You need to project a level of vulnerability as a storyteller to really have the audience engage and listen. So my job is always to help people tell their story in their own voice and to really listen and say, is that really the truth of that moment? Is that really what you realized? Or would this illustrate this more? Or what did that experience on a bigger level mean to you? So that what the storyteller is telling is authentic. And that's really what audiences respond to.
And what's it like for you to work with so many people on framing their life experience for an audience?
It's awesome. It's so great. It's weird to be on the phone and have these, you know, when I'm on the road with people, I only speak to them on the phone and then we all meet for rehearsal 2 days or the day before. And it's this strange, you know, hello, old friend whose face I didn't know until 1 minute ago.
That sounds like it'd make a great song. Hello, old friend whose face I didn't know.
Yeah.
We're talking about the 5th Annual Moth Main Stage taking place this week at the Byam Theater in the Cultural District. And, we are going to turn to Justin Strong, who is the owner of the Shadow Lounge and Ava Nightclubs. He's one of this year's storytellers to kind of find out what he is going to be doing. And first of all, Justin, how familiar were you with the Moth when they contacted you?
Just a little bit. Wasn't that familiar. I think we were in contact maybe a couple of years ago, actually, to use the Shadow for mm-hmm. one of the spaces for one of the events. So.
And so what made you want to get up and tell a story for the Moth?
I was free. I didn't have nothing going on.
I have nothing better to do. I get up there and tell a story.
Why not?
Well, now, you're familiar with this idea. You've hosted open mm-hmm. mics at Shadow Lounge on a regular basis. So how does the experience of preparing for the Moth compare to getting up and maybe hosting or performing spoken word at open mic?
I found it pretty different. You know, storytelling is definitely different from, I would say, my experience in either hosting poetry or actually doing poetry or doing stand-up. You know, I think the
what's different about it?
I think the poetry can be more abstract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the comedy, you can do the one zingers and you got pauses in between. The storytelling, you're just, you know, I think the reaction comes at the end. So you kind of have to, like, you know, you got 10 minutes to tell, and then you find out if people liked it or not, you know, versus kind of like immediate responses. So we'll find out.
Do you have any ideas of the story? Did you have any ideas of the story that you wanted to tell when the Moth first approached you?
No, it was interesting when the first conversation with Kate, I was like, I have no idea, you know, what do you want to talk about? I got 13 years of just random stories. So she kind of tricked me. And somehow, I think I just rambled on for like an hour on the phone. And she was like, all right, this is great. You got five stories we can do. And then like over a number of phone calls, we kind of slimmed it down to a few. And then we made a selection. And I was like, man, you got me telling a story.
Did the points that stood out to Kate surprise you?
Probably yes and no. I think I just forgot about a lot of stuff. I mean, it's been, you know, been Shadow in 2000. So, you know, you start, you know, reflecting back and you're like, man, that was kind of dope. I didn't even think about it. You know.
What can you say about the story that you're planning to tell tomorrow?
I can't say anything.
You can't say anything?
No, you got to buy a ticket. Oh. No. I mean, I think we're looking at kind of like it focuses on the first 2 years of the Shadow Lounge and from 2000, 2002 in that first original lease and kind of the highs and lows and the struggles and the, you know, kind of the prequel to the Shadow Lounge and my expectations and then reality and, you know, how we got through those hurdles, so.
Why is that story so important to tell?
Because if I didn't get through that hurdle, I wouldn't be asked to be on the Moth. They'd be like, who? The dude that works at Foot Locker. He's going to tell you a story.
What do you think you've taken away from this whole storytelling process?
It's interesting because I mainly deal with live music and poetry and I never thought of storytelling as like that other medium, and actually pretty exciting. I've been watching a lot of clips online and trying to pick up some pointers and stuff. And you're like, man, this. When I think of storytelling, I think like you're dealing with 5-year-olds or like a bunch of, you know, hippies in a drum circle, and it's like, oh man, this is actually pretty good. You know, there's an in between. Don't bring any drums.
Kate, do you get emotionally attached to these stories?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You have to. I mean, you know, the way we sort of really nailed what Justin's story would be about is I was asking, these are the type of questions I asked. I said, well, was that your low point? And we were talking about something else and he said no. And I said, tell me your low point. And we went from there. But you know, you have those conversations, you really try to dig in and find out these are the big moments that change us as people. And that's what I'm looking for. So these conversations are really, you know, intimate and fascinating. And I've spent a lot of time speaking to people and I care and I want them to do really, really well and, you know, feel the reward that they deserve.
It was like free therapy.
Yep.
That's the best. Who could ask for more than that? Well, I want to thank both of you for being with us. Kate Tellers, who is the Moth Mainstage producer, and also Justin Strong, owner of the Shadow Lounge and Ava Nightclubs in Pittsburgh, one of this year's storytellers, Break a Leg. The 5th annual Moth Main Stage takes place tomorrow night at the Byam Theater in the Cultural District. And the Moth Radio Hour airs at 6 p.m. Sundays on 90.5 WESA. And the Moth Story Slams, where you can get on stage and tell a story, are the first Tuesday of every month. You can go to the Rex on the South Side for that. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Tomorrow we visit with Pennsylvania Junior Senator Pat Toomey. Until then, so long for now.